Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
We're joined now by Adam Bell, as head of policy at Stonehaven and the former head of energy strategy at the Department of Business. Adam, good morning to you. What's your take on this report from the IEA?
Well, it's a radical break from everything that we've had before. If the assumption coming of a former IEA report is that the age of fossil fuels would continue for quite some time. And even with previously announced policies coming into play, you wouldn't necessarily dent that overall growth. What yesterday's report showed is that if you look at all the policies across the entire globe, the ones that have actually been put in place, not just the aspirational targets, but the ones that have been put in place, combined, they're enough to drive down to drive fossil fuels out of the system. By the back end of the 40s, all forms of fossil fuel use will start to decline from where we are today, and emissions ultimately therefore will peak and start to decline globally. So it's very exciting. It'll help hold down emission temperature rises too, probably about 2.5 degrees by 2100. That is still, unfortunately, within the territory of dangerous climate change, but it's not in planet-ending climate change. So it's both reassuring and emphasises that we still have a way to go.
The cost of living crisis has certainly been having an impact on some of our habits and perhaps suggestions that the UK green causes are dead. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't think so, because ultimately most of the kind of green issues in the UK, so deploying renewables, deploying nuclear, energy efficiency, low carbon heat, all those things effectively act to offset the enormous cost that fossil fuels have in the current market. Right now, if you want to get the country off gas, you need to deploy wind, you need to deploy solar, you need to deploy nuclear, range of storage technologies, you need to insulate homes, and you need to help people heat their houses using electrical devices like heat pumps. So it's absolutely the case that the crisis, if anything, has pushed us further down the track towards a greener future.
Adam, on the political drama that we've been hearing so much about, it's distracted a lot of attention of where we were, which is, of course, the starting with the worry over the winter and energy bills. How are things looking now as we head into this winter? The warmer weather seems to be helping the situation across Europe.
Absolutely. So natural gas prices have come back down to something that looks almost like normal as a result of both all of Europe's stores being filled and the relatively mild weather. Obviously, that still doesn't necessarily mean that we won't face some sort of shortage in January or February. We don't. Long-range predictions aren't that accurate yet, but it does give you a certain amount of confidence that this winter could be not as bad as some of the more downside scenarios.
On the political front, we're hearing that Rishi Sunak isn't going to the COP27 conference, and talk of climate ministers being demoted. Those are quite worrying signals if you're concerned about climate change, surely.
They are, but at the same time, the COP27 is going to be important. It's also going to be a very, very challenging environment for an awful lot of countries. COP26, just in the UK, was generally regarded as being, relatively speaking, a success, even with some last-minute issues around coal. This time around, Egypt's focus was going to be on financing for developing countries. Now, that is going to be a much harder sell in the face of a global recession, and there are going to be some very, very tough conversations. It is going to be a tricky COP. And although the Prime Minister isn't going, of course, an awful lot of British officials, and I'm sure at least one senior British political figure will go. So it's something to watch, but in climate terms, it's simply a function of the times.
In terms of the near-term political conversations that are being had, one of the big issues, of course, was how much the energy bailout was going to cost. Do you have an estimate on the bill for the subsidies that have been guaranteed until April?
So the most recent estimate was between 30 to 60 billion. Obviously, that's pretty weather contingent. In the event that we have quite a mild winter, the number will be towards the 30 billion end of the spectrum. In the event that it's very, very cold in December, January and February, it'll be towards 60, but it's an astonishing amount of money. The government's deciding that it wants to end this the regime and replace it with something more targeted from April is sensible. The options for doing so are quite limited, though. It's hard to target something at half the population. You have no pre-existing data set attached to them.
We're hearing this morning from Centrica that they've reopened one of their storage facilities, which will up the storage capacity in the UK by 50%. How much will that help in terms of, you know, when we get to April and think we have to look at how the situation is then?
So assuming they're reopening something to fill up over the course of next year, I think it will help. You'll still have the challenge next summer, given that we're now assuming there'll be basically no gas coming from Russia, is that you'll have, to a degree, a repeat of what we've seen over the last few months. Some very, very high spiky prices as all of Europe's stores get filled. But again, something that helps insulate us over the winter when you can't get those LNG cargoes in quite fast enough.
What does this mean for next winter, sort of winter 2023? Will by that stage we have managed to, as a kind of regionally, as Europe perhaps, have managed to put all the measures in place that will eliminate this kind of crisis from happening again, or is it going to be a similar position next year?
Well, there's still a lot to be done. Realistically, to insulate you from this entirely, you need to build a lot more generation very quickly. You need to do much as the Germans have done, build significant new LNG storage facilities, and you need to insulate homes, especially on the last piece. The UK is very, very far behind, and in order to make sure, and what I'd be looking for over next year is for the government to make some serious commitments to insulate millions of homes rather than the 120,000 they committed to most recently.
What sort of money would that require to do a broader programme of insulation?
So the 120,000 figure, it will cost about £1 billion. So generally speaking, for a proper retrofit of homes, costs between £5 to £10k per home. So you'd be looking at significant capital investment across the housing stock, and it would turtle in the low billions just to get a significant number of houses done.
Do you feel like there is the political will to do that?
There may be the political will, whether there's space within the Treasury spending envelope is, I think, something else. Certainly, this would be a capital investment. It wouldn't go to the deficit, and a lot depends on what the fiscal rules the new Chancellor will put in place in his upcoming autumn statement. That will give us an indication as to whether the government believes it has the scope to make a scale of capital investment.
Adam, we've spoken a good few times over the past few months on this story. You do sound a bit more optimistic now than you have been in recent months. Is that a fair assessment?
It is principally driven by the weather, but as I said, that is very, very, very changeable.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.